We all know what Christmas is. We celebrate the birth of Christ, of Jesus. Well, when you think about it, and say you are talking to somebody else that maybe don't believe in Christ, or you're trying to get them to understand your views and your beliefs, and they may, you just may get in a conversation with someone that, which we all know that nowadays, the holiday season, Christmas, is very commercial. You know, it's, everybody's spending a lot of money for the back gifts, and sometimes they tend to forget what the real reason of Christmas is all about. So, just kind of quickly, I wanted to just ask, how would you tell someone, or what would be the main thing that you would tell somebody about Christmas, other than the fact that it's the time of year that we give gifts? Anybody want to elaborate?
I would tell them that, you know, it's a day that should be set aside for Christ's birth. Even though we don't know the date that he was born, but this day was chosen for, I really don't know the real reason why it was chosen December the 25th, but it's a day that was chosen for his birth.
Okay. That's good.
That's good.
Anybody else? Bruh?
I just want to mention that we don't want to get we want to make sure that we as Christians know that Christ will not go on and be just with him.
Okay.
But that it's always a good time to give the Lord his just due.
Okay.
Because in spite of everything that goes on around us, it's good to know that Jesus died for my sins and that he rose again on the third day.
Okay.
And every first day of the week is his birthday. Every first day. December the 25th just happened to be my mother's birthday. Just so happened to be her, as she lived this December the 25th, she'd have been 92. But it's a good thing that we come to church and still give Jesus, the
army Jesus. Okay. That's good. Letting them know, as you said, that it's not necessarily the 25th, but it's still a day that's designated that the whole world celebrates. So that's also good. That is great. Now, As the brother brought up, his mother was born on December the 25th. And I dare say a whole lot of people were born on December 25th. So it's got to be something special about why we celebrate Christ's birthday on December 25th. Because if not, he was just like another person that was born on the 25th. Of December. One of the things, as we having this discussion this morning, that we wanted to just touch on, and like I said, we were in discussion with somebody else, the point that brother brought up about Jesus dying for our sins and what he did. That's what makes Jesus' birth so important. That is why we celebrate him on that particular day, because we have to know what was so special about him. Because if not, then he was just like anybody else. Could have been a president. Yeah, could have been anybody. But we have to let people know who Jesus was and what he did and what happened with him in his life. Now, when we get to talking about that, of course, we all know because we're Christians, but a person that's not a Christian is not going to see what's so important about it. The first thing we tell them that Jesus is our Savior, then we have to explain why is he our Savior? What is he saving us from? He's saving us from eternal death, because the wages of sin is death, and he's given us eternal life. That's why he's our Savior. He's saving us. Now, when people still going to be a little foggy about that, like, well, why is that so important, eternal life? When I'm dead, I'm gone. It don't make no difference. We can explain it to them in a form of saying, to get them to understand the value of it, we can use the example of a person that goes to court, and we would say that you're going to court, you need to have somebody on your side to stand up for you, because you can't just tell your side of the story. Or you can, but it's not going to carry too much weight unless you have somebody to represent you, because the judge may cut you off and tell you, sit down. You know, he don't want to hear it. In that sense, Jesus is like our lawyer. But it's still not going to be important until Judgment Day. And some people may say, well, we got a long time for Judgment Day, which nobody knows how long they have here on earth. But if they were to die the next day, or you get them to realize that they could leave at any time, and when they stand before judgment, who is going to represent them? That's when it'll be more crucial as to who their Savior is going to be. We can also use an analogy to tell them how important it is that if you work on a job and someone tells you they will pay you $50 a day. $50 a day is great, but it's not going to really be important to you until payday. Then you're going to know, you're going to go back and count up how many days you worked so that you can get $50 for each one of those days. At that time, it would be most important. But we have to try to get a person to understand how important Christ is as being our Savior, not only at the end of our life, where he stands up for us, but also all through our life. And to try to get them to understand that is to your example, because as we always say, no one can tell your story better than you. When you explain to them your example of how you prayed to Christ and your prayers were answered. Now, there's plenty of people that pray to Christ and they say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. In most cases, he did answer. He didn't give you the answer that you wanted to hear. And so, therefore, we say he didn't answer our prayer, or we feel like that. But when your prayers is answered, and you know your prayers are answered, how does that make you feel?
Good.
Very good. Overwhelmed, yes, very good. Good and very good. Overwhelmed. And we even tell people sometimes, I don't know how we're going to make it through. I don't know how I made it. I don't know what happened, but the Lord answered my prayer. That's the only way you can give an account for it, is to say that the Lord answered my prayer. And that way, each and every day, he is your Savior. Because who else can save you if You come home one day and there's a foreclosure note on your door, and God forbid, they have locked you out of your house. And you say, what am I going to do? All my possessions are inside. I have no place to stay. You begin to pray. Someone comes along and tells you, what's the matter? You need to go here. You need to go there. Let me take you this place. They may offer you a place to stay until you can get things into motion that needs to be done. Where does all of that come from? Where did a person come from? I know there's been countless times I've had a flat tire on the road, and even though I know how to change a tire and proceed to start changing, people have stopped and asked me, you all right? You need some help? That's a savior there. Just the other day. And it hadn't happened to me in so long. I felt so bad. I ran out of gas on my way home from work. It was dark. I was on the highway. My only alternative was to call my wife, which she was going to have to come from Petersburg all the way to Richmond just to come and take me to go get some gas to come back to the car. Long process. So happened, I called a coworker that I saw had just left. They came back, brought some gas to me. Then we went to the gas station and put gas in my car. I have no doubt that that was my savior, because I'd have been sitting there, and they even told me, well, who else was you going to call? Knowing that the only other person I was going to call was going to be my wife. Said, you know anybody else that lives near here? They didn't mind doing it. They wouldn't take any money for it. That was my savior. That was just that incident. But we can explain to a person who Christ is as our savior. Once we get them to know who he is, then we get them to try to understand what his purpose was. Because as we celebrate his birth, and we may know who he is, but still, what was so special about him? What was his purpose? Christ came not only to be our Savior, but he came to redeem us so that we could go and spend eternity with him when we get to the end of our life here on earth. Now again, we have to look to the future. And see, that's one thing what is a barrier, so to speak, or a stumbling block. Not only for people that don't believe in Christ, but for us as Christians each day that we live. Because the devil is always coming at us 24/7, seeking whom he can devour. And he always trying to cloud our vision and make us forget about the future. We concentrate greatly on what's happening right now. You know, what am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat today? Where are you going to go after church is over? Who are you going to see? The immediate things. As the commercial said, it's my money, I want it right now. We want everything right now. Other commercials, you can have it your way right now. Only thing they didn't say is right now, but still, emphasis in this world is placed on the here and now. Get all the gusto you can get, enjoy yourself, have a good time, do whatever you want to do right now. It's your life. But now comes the judgment. And then what happens? If we don't look at the big picture, the whole picture, look to the future, then we're gonna miss the whole boat, the whole show. We're gonna miss everything. Because it doesn't just stop right here and right now. That's why heaven is created for all eternity. And we are continuously reminded that we have an eternity to go to, whether it be heaven or whether it be hell. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. So people tell you, oh, when it's over. No, it's not. We don't want to experience the worst. Yes, bro.
Like Rover dead all over.
That's right.
You know, we got a soul that has the God.
Yes, we do.
And I'm going to tell you, I just pray all the time that when it's my time, I'll be there with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, this life ain't been easy for me, I can tell you.
Yes, sir.
I done had my share of hurt, pain, and
still gonna have church service.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of problems health wise.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not one to complain. I just go with the flow.
That's all we can do.
God is still good. He's in charge.
All the time. That's right.
But in spite of the things I've gone through, I can look back and say I've had a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Been married to my wife 45 years.
That's a blessing.
I just have seen a lot. Hope to see a little bit more. But I tell anybody, my better days are behind me. I got a future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when that's going to end. But if I was a betting man, I wouldn't put a whole lot of money on what's going to happen down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because God got his own plan.
There you go.
And I'm glad that he does.
I hear you, brother. I know you're a lot older than I am. But I beg to differ with you when you say your better days are behind you, because you never know what God still got in store for you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that's still hope.
I was thinking in length.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can understand that. Longevity. Yeah, I can understand that.
Because I'm 71 now, so I don't expect to be
all things are possible.
Be a little while longer. That's good enough. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Feel free. We have to try to instill what Christ's purpose was so that people will understand the importance of why he came. And also in this purpose of how he died. Because he didn't just die, and that was it, as we just discussed a minute ago. Christ was the only one that was resurrected, paving the way for us to be resurrected on Judgment Day and to spend eternity with him. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't spend eternity with him if we don't be resurrected, you know. So therefore, all of this is important to get someone to understand just how important Christ is and why we celebrate his birth. Now, there's a lot of people that have been born that have done great things, been good people, have discovered much of the things that we use today. And I dare say that life would be a whole lot harder if they hadn't done what they did. And we pay tribute to them. We honor them on certain days, their birthdays, or we just honor them for their accomplishment on that day. So we basically name a day after them, and we say this is their day, and we honor them because of the things that they have done. But with all the stuff that everybody has done, all of the accomplishments they've made, all of the things they have discovered, it's still nothing compared to what Christ did. And because we don't readily see it and be able to touch it physically, we tend to sometimes be forgetful. But that's to our advantage to remember, because we as Christians live by faith. We know what has happened. And if we go back in the Bible to the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, every one of them knew about what they went through, how hard it was, what the Lord did for them. They told their siblings, their children, and their children believed it because their parents told them. Then, as the parents passed away, and the children got grown, and they had children, and they told their children, their children tend to question and be a little disbelieful. I don't know, that's not even a word, disbelieful, but anyway, you understand what I'm saying. They tend to say, well, as kids do today, sometimes when you try to tell them something, I like to say, you try to give them a little wisdom, and the first thing they say, well, that's what happened in your day. That doesn't happen now, you know. But the Bible said a wise man heeds to wisdom, someone tells you that is beneficial to you, you pay heed to it, and it will profit you. But if you pass it off as, that's just something that you believe, and that's just something that you said, then you'll be like a foolish man. So it'll be wise for us to pay attention to things, not just everything, but things that will be beneficial to us that someone tells us for our good. Also, what we can try to get people to understand about the importance of celebrating Christ's birth. After you explained all that to them, and they still may tend to say, well, the bottom line, that's what you believe. I don't want to believe that. We have to continue to pray for them, continue to show them where our faith lies and what we believe in, and telling them that. And hopefully that one day their eyes will be open to the fact that they'll be able to see and understand, and then they too can celebrate Christ's life. It will have such an effect on them that it will change their life. Now, some people experience things, and the first thing they say is, it was a miracle. But they don't believe that God made that miracle. That's their choice. They can do what they like. But our job is to try to explain and to try to tell them so that they can understand and they can relate to Christ and see why we celebrate Christmas and what the purpose of it is. And one other thing I'd like to bring out, and this is just, as they say, food for thought. I read, some of you might have saw it, it was in an email, that we teach our children from the beginning to believe in a fictitious character, Santa Claus, at Christmas. That he's going to come around and give everybody that's been good the whole year a gift. And we get the children to believe that. When they get older, they find out point blank it's a lie. But we also try to teach them about Christ. How are they going to decide from one to the other? Well, you told me this one was a lie. How come this one might not be a lie? They may not believe in Christ because, as I just talked about, the real benefit or the benefit that's going to count the most is going to be in eternal life, after this life, after death. Something they have to believe in. That's where the faith comes in at. Well, how can they have the faith if they've already been taught about a fictitious character all their life? This is just something to think about. I saw that and I thought about it and I said, that's a good question.
Yes, can I say something?
Yes, please.
Over in Germany, we don't claim that Santa Claus comes at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a day for Santa Claus, but it's actually not a fastidious character that we do. Actually, it's a real monk named Saint Nick.
Okay.
Okay. And we do that on the 6th, and we don't get presents as far as, you know, toys. It's usually something edible, which Saint Nick actually brought to orphanages and poor people.
Okay.
But on Christmas, we celebrate actually the Christ child coming, and we call it Christmas or Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, we do celebrate. I mean, I remember Mom always telling us Jesus was born to, you know, bring us salvation. And that's what we celebrated at Christmas. But we did it on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
But Saint Nick actually existed, but he had nothing to do with Christmas.
Okay. That's very interesting. I've never even heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's very interesting.
A monk.
Okay.
And it was during the winter time he took it and brought food and clothing to the children of the poor family and orphanages.
Okay. That's good. We still, a lot of things we pick up from other traditions.
Right.
And we incorporate it. I mean, that's not just here in the United States, but that's other countries. Do the same thing. And we, even with the story of Christ's birth, how we incorporated the gifts of giving gifts because of the wise men that came and brought gifts to the baby Jesus. It was one thing to realize about that, or I think it's an important point about that, is that those men came. But they weren't Jews. They didn't know about the custom. Mm-hmm. So when the angels appeared to the shepherds already had knowledge of who angels were, what Christ was. They know a Messiah was coming. It had been foretold that a Messiah was coming. They knew the custom. They knew in their tradition that something would happen. They just didn't know when. But these men didn't know anything. And to find this out and to hear about this, it was so amazing that this is what compelled them to go and see it for themselves. And in doing so, we find out, we pick up their custom also, but we find out that these were men that were from another country, another place, they came, and they still worship Christ. They still bow down to worship Christ. They brought him gifts. And not only that, but by the Lord revealing how important he was to the whole world and told them not to go back the way in which they came to tell Herod about it, but to go a different way. They followed what God told them. They followed their instruction to go a different way. Now, that's important because of the fact of, if somebody tell you something that you don't don't know about and don't believe in, why would it matter so much to you? You know? If they told you this and they said, you can go see it, would that spark enough interest for you to go and see it if it was in your power? And it sparked enough interest in these men's lives to do it because they wanted to find out for themselves. And then after they did go and they saw him and they brought gifts, if he was that important or somebody told you something that was that important, would it make you want to give a gift to this person that's supposed to be a savior of the world? There had to be something that was compelling them to do that. And then on top of that, for some great being to tell them, don't go back the way you come, go a different way. And this is in order to protect Christ and his family. And they took heed to it. Why would that be important? Yes, that's
the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they followed the deity that probably most people would have said was not their God.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that to follow that and to go a different route. And to me it's amazing that they recognized the deity that was, you know, talking to them and told them what to do.
It had to be God.
Yeah.
It inspired them to do that. And compel them. So, as I said, hopefully, if you tell somebody else that don't know about Christ, and you're trying to explain to them, the importance of who he was, what he came for, and what he did, to get them to understand that, the same as to get them, in a sense, would be like a wise man. And if they refuse, it's still their choice.
Yep.
But all we can do is pray for them and continue in our faith to show them what the purpose is and why we do it, so that they may learn and understand what Christ is all about. I hope I didn't go over too much. is there any other comments? It won't be made, yes.
I was just going to say, I think it's important when we're talking about Christmas that we separate days that man has determined we're going to celebrate this from the church. I think it's ever good to have a holiday that's a man-made holiday, because Christ himself, out of his own mouth, he said, remember my death.
Mm-hmm.
Every first day of the week. He never told us to celebrate his birth. Of course, it was a celebration because that was a miraculous. God had a plan. That's how he brought him into the world.
Right.
But he never told us to celebrate his birth every year. That's what people do. Mm-hmm. But every first day of the week we're to celebrate his death, burial, mm-hmm. and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to separate. If I was talking to somebody about Christ, people think about Christ on Christmas around that time,
yeah.
Of course. And I'm not saying that it's not important to take advantage of that, but we have to separate the Church of Christ from Christmas because they're not connected. Because it's not a day that we don't know when Christ was born, and I believe we don't know because God didn't see a need to tell us the day he was born.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't born in the winter. We know that because the shepherds were abiding in the field.
Right.
So we know that how people in general celebrate Christmas doesn't have anything to do with Christ in the Bible. So I think we have to separate that. If we're going to talk to people about Christ and his importance, which is absolutely true, we've got to speak about his death, burial, and resurrection. His birth was necessary because that's what brought him here.
Right.
But we have to talk about our salvation is connected to his death, mm-hmm. his burial, and his resurrection. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about Christmas, if we celebrate that, my opinion is it shouldn't be brought into the church. Because that's a man-made holiday, it's a man-made tradition, and people have brought so many things into it that have nothing to do with religion in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how people want to celebrate. You know, you got Santa, you got, you know, all these different things,
mm-hmm.
but God never told us to remember his son that way. Mm-hmm. He told us specifically how to remember his son.
That's
so
true.
And it was never December 25th. It was never his birth. It was his death. And mm-hmm. we have to focus on that when we're talking about people, because our salvation is not connected to his birth. It had to be. But it's connected to his death. We're supposed to remember that every first day of the week, mm-hmm. not just once a year.
Right.
So it's just, you know, my personal opinion, it should never be connected to the church, because the church and God's plan for the church and mm-hmm. God's plan for salvation never changes. It's never subject to opinion or tradition or culture. It's never been subject to that. It's always been subject to how God has determined that we're going to be saved, how God has determined that we're to worship in the church. That's static. That's never going to change.
Right.
So Christmas, 40 years from now, Christmas may be completely different how people celebrate it in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But God's word is still going to be standing. It's still going to be firm. So, you know, I just think that's important to differentiate, because how we decide to do things, you know, is our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But how the church conducts worship and how we teach people about how they can be saved and what Christ did and what he's determined that we're to do, that's written.
Right. Very good point. Yes.
I'd like to write up the gifts too, because the wise men have brought gifts, brought them to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to give gifts to each other, which is nice. That's okay. But all of our biblical examples, the gifts that were brought to him were meant for his death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to think about too. I agree totally with what Carmen said. You know, we need to do that.
Never said in the Bible, celebrate my birthday in remembrance, or celebrate this day in remembrance of my birth.
Right.
Okay? But we are taught death, burial, and resurrection by breaking of the bread, do this in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with
Christmas. Right.
It's like the sister says, it has all to do with this death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have to remember the wise men coming to bring the gifts, they didn't bring them to baby Jesus. Scholars have determined that Jesus was already probably a toddler before they came to see him to bring him those gifts,
mm-hmm.
because he was already in Jerusalem when they came.
Right.
So those are all things that we have to remember as we and look at the history and look what's really going on. And we take so many different actions and we conglomerate it around one day, and then we decide to make a holiday out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the more I study the Bible and the more I read and try to learn, the more these things come to light. And we have a habit as human beings to do this.
Okay.
Instead of following what the Bible says and not, you know, like take two or three things and make a holiday out of it.
That's true. Hopefully, our discussion will shed light on things that will help benefit us as far as to when we talk to people. And as I said, especially a person that maybe not followers of Christ or don't understand fully what Christ did and what is the purpose, we can shed light on it and clarify things and let them know what the purpose is, and also distinguish that it's not necessarily a part of this and it doesn't go along with that, because we will make, you know, they may have the question, but we'll be able to answer it and to steer them to the truth. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, if you come in a conversation with them, you're not going to have a Bible in your hand at that time to tell them. And to just to quote a lot of scriptures to them, they may not remember all those scriptures to go to find it at that particular time. But if you have the opportunity, you open that door to where you can go to a scripture and tell them and let them know why we say this, why we do this. This is the purpose. And still related to the whole purpose of Christ, of his death, burial, and resurrection, and why we celebrate his coming into this world.
And I agree with you, Leslie. Christmas should not be celebrated as we do, but it gives us an open door to teach people. You know, this is what it's really all about. It's not about his birth. It's all about, you know, that he came to die for us.
His purpose.
And I think that Either that, or they totally deny the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives us an open door.
Yes, it does.
To people about that, if for no other reason than to just talk to your friends and family as you gather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to maybe plant a seed and let people want to study or whatever to get a better understanding of it.
Yes.
So. Don't waste the opportunity of Christmas because it gives you, like we said,
open door.
You know, and let's talk about it.
Yep. And that's my lesson for the day, or our discussion for the day. And I thank you all for your participation. We will be focusing more on the real reason of Christmas for our worship this morning, as we do, we call it our Christmas family worship for this time of year, to get us more focused on Christ's purpose and what he did and what he came for, his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you all again, and we'll proceed to go into our morning worship in a few minutes.